Welcome to the My Name is Human Earth 2.io podcast brought to you by MyNameIsHumanPod.com. I am Human Hazy.
I am Human Kangi.
And I am Human Snoke.
So we kind of missed last week, but we didn't miss last week. So we owe Snoke that gratitude. We actually recorded a podcast last week, and when we finished, Snoke was like, oh, dudes.
Technical difficulties.
Yes,
it's just me talking to myself. So I've seen some suggestions from our listeners that we should, one, make an NFT of that episode. Two, make voiceovers. I'm thinking Kangi can be Jack Nicholson.
Oh, God.
And I could be Homer Simpson. And we can just do a whole podcast using that episode with funny cartoon voices.
We've got to save that for a particularly slow time.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've anyway, got that for a really slow month.
We still have that video.
Definitely don't throw that away. Anyway, we do have stuff to talk about. Sorry we missed it last week, but we're going to get into all the announcement that Earth2 had last week and a few things that updated this week that we can add on to what we had originally talked about last week. So we'll get started with the announcement itself. So basically, it was on the news page, which I was a huge fan of. It was big progress for me seeing it in one central location instead of on Discord, on Facebook, on Twitter. It was one place. So I was happy to see that. So we got some further information on what Mintars are, what Ether is, what Essence is. Not necessarily the in-depth scientific analysis we want, but some lore and some background stuff. So let's start with Mintars. Basically, Mintars, everyone has them now. So last time we talked...
We had to wait 14 days, right? That was the total time from when it was initially rolled out. So
right. Had to visit your profile 7 times in 14 days. But now, as long as you have done that, which most people that are active in the community have done, you have Mintars on all your properties, which therefore means you are getting Ether and you're... As a correlation to that, you're getting Essence. You also can now slot your jewels on the properties that have Mintars. So there's a lot of interconnecting pieces. So can you kind of tell us your thoughts on the announcement, the rollout of Mintars, and everything that you've seen?
Well, I do think it's interesting that it's, and I know we'll talk about Ether and Essence in greater detail, but that the Mintars have to go through, you know, both of those steps, because it doesn't seem like, as it stands, there's just like a use for Ether directly. So it's like, why would you not just convert it anyways? But anyhow, I did find one interesting quote in the announcement that says, Mintars are normally the first structure on a player's land, and once instantiated, will always remain in place so long as that property remains whole and is not subdivided, even if it moves.
So Kangi, you and I have English degrees, journalism degrees. Have you ever used the word instantiated in a sentence?
No, that's a first. And, you know, there's a good opportunity for me to use Google to... I'm glad I got hit with one that I didn't know.
I admit I had to look it up too.
Yeah, but I assumed it just meant, you know, installed or something similar.
So, someone was bored and had to break out the thesaurus that day.
That is funny. but I did want to, like, I wanted to call out specifically the, and is not subdivided even if it moves. Like, what do you think the even if it moves means, Snoke? I took that to mean, initially I was thinking, oh, if it moves, meaning if it sells. But then I was thinking, well, they would use the term sells. So now are we talking about the ability to, I don't know, like potentially move the plot that you have within a nation or something like that? I mean, Snoke, what was your interpretation?
You know, at first, like you said, I kind of thought like between selling and back and forth, but after having mentors out now and actually being able to look at them on the profile and on your properties, I think it might be a little bit different, because if you look at your properties, there's only one mentor on the whole property. So if you have like a 750 flex, I think that you can move that mentor to a different part of the property, maybe.
You know, I never even thought of that.
Mainly because once we start building on the properties, if that mentor is in the way, you know, you can't really build over. Well, I don't know if you could or not, but that's what I'm thinking. Maybe it might mean to move by that. Another fun fact about that quote was that it did confirm that a subdivision will be happening soon as well of the property.
Right, and so the point I took away from that is that they want to incentivize not subdividing. So. Right. The kind of made it look like subdividing would actually be a negative thing for mentors. And the question I had, so say you have a 750 and you decide to subdivide it into 15 50 tile properties, I'm assuming you're going to get 14 more mentors on those properties. And how is that going to impact your ether and essence creation? Is that going to decrease it or increase it, or is it going to stay the same? You still have 750 tiles, but it's not the same size property. So it'll be interesting to see how that correlates to ether and essence production. And on a note Kangi talked about earlier, I really don't understand the whole mentor to ether to essence thing. Why doesn't just not go to essence? Like, that ether step seems totally useless right now. So I'm thinking there has to be a purpose that they're doing that. Otherwise, to me, it makes no sense. Why is there that intermediate step? So I'm hoping we get some clarity on that in the future, because right now it's just an added step that isn't needed.
Yeah. And one thing I did when I was thinking about, you know, they're obviously incentivizing, as you mentioned, keeping your larger plots together. But I was thinking, you know, what's a reason you might want to subdivide? Like, I recently had a large Italy class 3 plot, and it can just be challenging to find people that have the liquidity to buy like a $1,200 plot.
Or so, even my Caesars plot is a good example. Like, say
yeah,
I want to
absolutely
say I want to keep 40 tiles for myself and sell the other 120 in 10 tile plots. People that would be lucrative 10 tile. People would be willing to buy that 10 tile plot for a much lower price than the whole
right.
$7,000 or $8,000. They might pay $500 for 10 tiles at Caesar's Palace.
Yeah, USA is a fantastic example, because yeah. Your per tile price is so extreme that, yeah, anything that's over, you know, a couple dozen tiles.
And those people who got in super early, if they own the flex, I mean, that's market value is over like $50,000. So, yeah.
Yeah, you can break it down in, like I said, 10 tile plots and sell it for $500. Exactly. People are much more likely to pay $500 for a 10 tile plot in USA than they are $10,000 for a 160 tile plot.
Yeah, and actually going back to how you were talking about ether and essence, the quote on the announcement that was recently said, it said ether cannot really be captured or stored, but can be detected by a mentor if consumed quickly enough by that mentor can convert the very storable and collectible form of essence. Not all ether is identical, which is evident in the varying ether to essence yields that typically don't convert the same amounts. We know that when captured early enough, ether always yields some essence, but never more essence than ether. Now, the varying ether to essence yields, it says that the ether is not identical. What are your thoughts on that, Hazy?
So it's been kind of weird since we've gotten all the mentors. When we recorded this last week, we didn't have that information. So I'm honestly not getting that much more than the 8 I had on the 750s and the big properties. I was getting about 100 ether a day and about 60 essence a day. Now I'm getting about 200 ether a day and about 110 essence a day. So it really, I mean, to me, the size of the property has definitely made a huge impact on how much you're getting. As far as the yield, so for me, the yield is really dependent on property size. The alt account I have, it's been getting 1 to 2 essence a day. And that's with a whole bunch of one-tile properties that I bought to try to increase fuel production. So that there is really an indicator to me that it's not the number of, unlike Jules, where it was the number of properties, it's the opposite for Ether. It's the size of the property. So I think the yield is really dependent on how many tiles you have total. Right. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't buy any early like the both of you did. So my sample size on my Ether production is pretty small right now. I've only had it for a few days. So and then how much essence I get from it. It's like some days it seems like it's, 65%. Some days it seems like it's, 45%. But one thing I will say is that similar to producing the Mentors in the first place and logging in daily, this is another good way to go in and collect your resources, collect Ether on a daily basis to encourage that sort of daily login and daily engagement, because, one of the big things we want to avoid are, inactive users that own lots of land.
Yeah,
so
it's a good way. And the rumor, I'm not sure it's a rumor, I think it's actually a pinned post in the Discord, is if you don't transfer your Ether into essence in the 48-hour time period, you lose it. So that's kind of making sure you do that second click.
Right, right. And since we've been talking about Ether, I'll just transition into the announcement about Essence, which is, unlike Ether, Essence can be collected and stored. Essence is believed to be some kind of precursor of matter, since by using it, a player will be able to produce resources more or less out of thin air, yet only from those resources which exist on the player's properties. Essence allows a user to reproduce these resources without exploiting them and is the crucial basis for player property resource production. And then it also states that likely to, in the future, be able to be bought and sold, which I thought was interesting because,
that's a complete 180 from what they said previously.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, they'd said many times that Essence would not be able to be traded between players, that you could buy it directly from Earth 2, or it could be generated by your properties, but they have always said you'll not be able to get it from other players. So that right there is a complete 180.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting, and it kind of continues to.
Well, I'm a fan of anytime we can add stuff to the ecosystem. I'm a fan of it, so I'm happy to see that.
Absolutely, but I did want to ask Snoke what was your interpretation specifically? I want to ask you about the out of thin air. And, the idea of reproducing resources without exploiting them. Like, this is some interesting terminology, and I wanted to know what you thought it kind of meant.
Yeah, it could potentially be a narrative, for resources continuing to regenerate. It could also potentially become a wild card resource, in a sense. Originally, I thought that Essence could possibly be almost what they call in-game currency as well, where, you would, and this would go further into Phase 3 and whatnot, but Essence would be your in-game currency to buy and sell and trade resources rather than using e-dollars for that as well. But, I mean, that's kind of my thought about it. But, Hazy, what are your thoughts?
So, I mean, we've all known that Essence is the basis of everything.
Exactly.
And we've known that for resources, Essence is going to be tied hand in hand. So what I'm wondering is how they're going to correlate the two. And that's where we're all speculating right now. Like, so we know Jules will increase the resource production on a property. That's a given because we already see that on the Jules. We know that one small Jule equals a 0.5 increase in that resource. So is Essence going to be required on a property to get resources on that property? If so, that's going to it's going to be a really interesting dynamic. And that will probably drive up the price of Essence if that's the case. But it's hard to figure out exactly where they're going with that. But my thought is that essence, you're going to, in order to get resources on a property, you're going to have to do something with essence on that property.
You're spending it in some way. It's some sort of energy to extract the.
Right. So if you have 200 properties, if you don't use essence on all those properties, you're not going to get resources on the ones you don't use the essence on. So you're going to have to pick and choose really where you're kind of deploying that essence. So I don't think we're going to have enough essence to basically be able to mine all our properties. So my strategy, if that's the case, is I'm going to pick my mine property, my specific mine properties first, and kind of test it, kind of see how it works with something that I know is a gold mine, something that I know is a coal mine. So I'm going to test those to see how it works, and then maybe deploy on more random properties. So Kangi, is that kind of how you're thinking about it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I, to be honest, I hadn't considered it that far out, but thinking specifically about what you said, that we're not going to be generating essence fast enough to fully, extract the resources from all of our properties, which I think is a really interesting point. And it's going to play big time into the ecosystem, because there's going to be people that want to maximize, right? Just like you saw with Mentars, there's going to be some users that want to, buy everything.
Yeah, bought them 2 weeks ahead of time when there was no reason to.
Yeah, I mean, I try to get the head start. I can understand, but you're going to see the same thing here. And so it's going to be fascinating, especially if we're able to get resources without necessarily being able to build them, kind of like what you see with Jules right now, right? Like
the market is... And depending on the price of essence, if someone's willing to overpay for it, I might just be like, well, I guess I don't need resources here. Take my essence for $10 per essence.
People are that dedicated to making sure that every one of their properties is fully, 100% productive. Then maybe I'll sell some too. I mean, it depends. It's very speculative.
But. And one thing we talked about last week that I want to make sure we mention again this week is we're going to get actually kind of a valuation of what Earth-2 thinks essence is worth with the hollow building cost. So right now we know that a 10 by 10 by 10 is about $10. So, and we know there's going to be an essence function. So when Earth-2 places that, okay, you can buy this 10 by 10 by 10 for 100 essence, we know that they're valuing essence at 10 cents per essence. So we'll get that valuation. So that's going to be interesting to see the valuation that Earth-2 applies to it and the valuation that the players are applying to it. So will they kind of work together, or are they going to be working in an opposing dichotomy?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, imagining them having like a set rate is difficult, because then you're going to have so much flooding the market around whatever price Earth-2 would be charging, but it's probably going to be
some kind of algorithm like they're using with Jules and with the properties. There's probably going to be something that drives it either to go up or down.
Or they could just, they could pivot and say, well, y'all can sell essence to each other and we'll just take a cut, just like with the Jules. Well, that's easy.
I'm sure they're going to, I am 1000% positive they are going to take a cut.
Yeah. For sure.
Well,
for sure.
And another thing to think of, as you said, if they start buying and selling between people, and earlier you stated that they're probably not generating enough essence to do the resources on all of their properties, you get these big players that want 100% resources gathered from each and every one of their property. If they collect all their essence and they need more, they will go out and buy more. And
there's whales.
and that's a way that, I mean, the price of essence could potentially be a lot higher than Jules, because...
Oh, way, I think it's going to be way higher than
Jules. Oh, yeah. Just because it's not that... even though we get it daily, it's not that... I don't think of the word, but... abundance as Jules are.
Yeah, that's fair. We've been collecting Jules for a lot longer.
Yeah,
but
while I have 1,000 essence, if you think about it as... How much really is 1,000 essence? It's just one lump. It's not like 1,000 Jules. I don't have 1,000 individual pieces. I have a
yeah,
lump.
You're not going through pages and pages.
But,
right. I have a lump of essence.
Correct. So if you have 1,000 essence, that means let's say you have 10 properties or 100 properties and you put a 10 by 10 by 10 hollow building, that's going to wipe away all that essence alone. And
so
I know you have more than 100 properties.
Yeah, I have about 200.
Go ahead, Kangi. Well, the one thing I was thinking of too with just the, I mean, I'm still thinking about the Jewel ability with Jewels, and I know you're probably going to get to this too in a second, AZ, but the ability to eventually merge them and create larger Jewels could really make the price of Jewels skyrocket, depending right. on how much you need to maximize, because it'll be the same thing. There's going to be people that want to have whatever the, you know, highest tier Jewel is
right.
in each color on their properties. And so if it takes, you know, 40 or 100 or 500 smalls
yeah,
to get there, then, you know,
so
who knows?
So let's get into Jewels, because so 3 weeks ago, I had the theory that Jewels prices was going to go up as a result of the Mintar's Ether Essence, because you were going to need more Jewels to slot. But last week when we talked, I actually kind of countered that and said, you know, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think they're going to go down because everyone is going to have that same mindset as me, and they're going to flood the market thinking there's a demand when, and by flooding the market, all it's going to do is drive that price down. And so I argued last week on our unrecorded podcast that right now is actually not a good time to sell. It's a good time to hold Jewels, because when we get into that crafting mode, that's the time where you're really going to need those Jewels. And my theory was proven right, because the Jewels prices have plummeted.
Yeah, so, I checked earlier today. It was at 19 cents for the lowest ones.
Yeah, and the yellows are under 40 cents now.
Oh, wow.
That is a huge drop.
Yeah, so that theory proved true. So I think if you're a buyer of Jewels, now is a really good time to buy, especially the rare ones like the blacks and the yellows that people tend to overvalue, not overvalue, but pay more for. So now's a good time to buy, because there will be a time and point where you're going to need more Jewels.
Yeah, for sure.
Right now, we just need them for slotting. And it's a pretty minimal. It took about maybe 300 Jewels total to do my 200 properties. So it wasn't a substantial amount. But I do want to read into what we did learn about Jewels. So we know Jewels can improve ether detection rate, especially on larger properties, and also increase resource production rate. We already knew that. But what was really interesting was this part. Meanwhile, the UPG, Unidentifiable Player Group, are working on the technology to craft a sort of higher tier Jewels from the lower tier Jewels, which they are hoping will result in the ability of a more powerful Jewel that surpasses anything that presently seems possible inside Earth 2. So two things here. Aliens are taking over Earth 2. And what we just talked about, there's going to be a use for these Jewels that we don't currently have, that people are going to be clamoring for in the future. So, Kangi, what do you think this unidentifiable player group is?
I mean, it seems like another narrative element, like kind of like the same thing.
Kind of a lore type thing?
Yeah. I mean, like Snoke was saying earlier about, you know, the way that some of the phrasing around, what was it? It was, I'm looking for it right now. The ether production where some of the
Mentors.
Phrasing. Oh, yes. With like how they actually work for bringing in resources. Like some of the phrasing seems like it's got some storyline to it. Because otherwise, UPG in theory, it could be something like, you know, people that are doing QA, but I doubt that that's the case.
No, it's definitely a lore. That's what I know. Snoke, you tell us your story, what you first saw with UPG.
Yeah, that was my first thought when I first read this. Like, I read the whole announcement, just going through it. I was like, UPG. Oh, okay. So they do have a group of people, you know, testing these features out or something. I don't know, you know, if it's on the staging set or if they have another like special permission or whatever. And after reading the whole thing, it kind of made sense. Like, yeah, it could have been more of a narrative, like storytelling type deal. So after reading it all the way through, I kind of thought of that, but yeah.
Yeah. It's not people going into the Discord now to accuse each other of being part of the UPG. Everybody.
Exactly.
You have the impression that, yeah.
I've actually started a UPG.
Right.
Might as well, right? Actually, I'm going to change the name of that group now to the UPG. That's a good name for the group.
There we go. And then that way that anybody that joins will be part of the UPG.
So, and the reason I kind of think more about the lore part is what the part that Snoke's going to introduce next. So kind of get into Hollow Buildings and read that part that talks more about the UPG.
The UPG soon discovered the energy required to place and display a single hollow building inside Earth 2 could also be used for the benefit of the player, both now and well in the future, giving more purpose and utility to hollow buildings than originally thought. Hollow buildings also serve to create a head start for players on Earth 2 ecosim. By way of upgrades, a player can utilize the space inside their deployed hollow buildings for resource storage retrospectively. Meaning, at the point of hollow buildings deployment, an upgrade that date is timestamped in the Earth 2 timeline and will be referenced for resources generations and storage when it becomes available. Kangy, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's obvious that it's another attempt to reward sort of early adopters, because it's saying, you know, that you'll be rewarded retroactively for using hollow buildings, you know, as soon as possible. So it's a bit interesting to think about, you know, the fact that these could be accumulating rewards, but we don't even know what they are yet. But then again, that's kind of in line, you know, we know there's going to be more resources, and we also only still have like 7 or 8 resources. So I guess it's not crazy that, you know, we would have that lack of clarity at this point.
Yeah, my biggest hope with this is they don't roll that part out until you can buy hollow buildings with essence, because otherwise it starts to become a pay to win thing. Because if you can't buy with essence, there are going to be people that spend money to put those hollow buildings on to get that head start, kind of like they did with Mintars. And to me, that would be much more a cash grab than what they did with Mintars.
I was going to ask you that. I know it's kind of off subject, but do you think that was a cash grab, especially since they haven't released anything else that you can do with Mintars?
So we've debated this internally in a few different groups. I do think it was a cash grab, because there's no other purpose there. They get, and if it wasn't, then it was very poorly communicated that there was a reward for having that 14-day head start with essence. To me, all it is you got some extra essence. That was the benefit. Right. And knowing that, I don't think a 14-day head start in essence is that beneficial. I bought 8, so I spent $40, and to me it was a waste of money. So
I spent 20 myself, and I agree.
So to me it was a cash grab. But I don't think it was that egregious. It was, unless you were Joom and spent $1,000. I mean, I would have never done that, but I mean, to me, I did it just to experiment to kind of see what it was doing. So I didn't mind putting a few dollars in, but to me, there was, what other purpose was it? I mean, there was no, they didn't communicate any benefit to it. So it really, it was, hey, you get a head start. So to me, you want to get a little extra essence, you're going to pay $5 for it. So not too egregious, but to me, if they do the hollow buildings without being the by essence, with that language they just did about the head start for resources, that's going to really push people to buy those hollow buildings for e-dollars. So I really hope they don't do that until essence is a purchase option. Kangy, agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I mean, I, not knowing what the actual value is at this point, it's hard for me to say. You know, if you spent $5 on day one on a 750 class one, could you have generated enough ether to essence for that to have been worth it over that 14 days? Maybe, you know, it's not.
Yeah, because we don't know the value of essence.
Right. I mean, theoretically, it could have been generating 50 cents worth per day, and you actually made a profit. But yeah. it's so. I mean, as with many things, we say it a lot, but it is so speculative. That part, beyond even many other things we've described that way, it's very hard to guess whether that was, you know, a mistake. So I don't want to call it a cash grab, but it does seem, especially if you put it on smaller properties, it probably wasn't.
It gave the appearance of a cash grab. I'll put it that way.
That's fair.
That's good. That's fair.
and Hazy, there was something, there was a bit more on hollow buildings too that
we'll get into that real. So the announcement went a little bit further into hollow buildings and said they could also be used to expedite research and construction times required inside the ecosim and contribute toward a volumetric cost for phase 3 buildings and structures. It is even possible the hollow buildings could continue to exist inside a triggerable alternate reality filter, like I said, aliens, that sits inside the futuristic world of phase 3. Kangy, explain this to me. I am lost.
I mean, my immediate response is, okay, it sounds like there's an Earth 2 within Earth 2, right? Like, there's basically an Earth 3, because there's an alternate reality within Earth 2, which is a lot
it's a Ready Player One world.
But, I mean, I will say this. A lot of the language used in the announcement in general is not very definitive. And again, that could be more of a storyline thing where it's like wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
It's another fucking riddle.
Because it's like hollow buildings could do this. You know, right. It is possible that this would happen. You know, so I understand it sort of gives them the ability to maintain some flexibility if they decide to change things up down the road. But it is sort of... It's just hard for me to like really commit to it when it's like, it could do this. And I'm like, all right, let me know if it does.
It's pushing the urgency of having hollow buildings on your property.
It is. And also, you know, and one thing that I think is big, and it's another part of the ecosystem, is hollow building blueprints will be sellable. So, you know, it's right there. That's yet another way that users can make money.
I'm going to put 10 by 10 by 10 squares on the properties I want to collect resources, but for something like Caesars, where I actually want to put something elaborate up, I'm going to contract it out. Right. There's no way I could actually do something that I would think is visibly appealing. So I'm going to pay someone to do it for me. So that's going to be a service that people can provide, something Walker and Earth 2 Reviews can use. So Snoke, what do you think about all this hollow building talk?
You know, the part where it says triggerable alternate reality filter. I know I talked about it a little bit last time, but I had a little bit more thought on it, where let's say you're in Vegas at Caesar's Palace, and this could lead into where they bring out the mobile app and augmented reality, AR, and let's say you're, you know, somewhere and you could click on it and see the hollow building on the phone itself. It's all speculation, so it all depends on what you think it could be, but... It could be something that they potentially use in the future, but yeah.
Go ahead, Hazy.
One thing I wanted to talk about was that volumetric cost for phase 3 buildings and structures. So what I'm thinking here is it'll be a discounted price towards putting on the final design. So the hollow building will like be the shell, and you'll have like a skin you can put on the hollow building or something like that. It's kind of how I'm envisioning phase 3 playing out. So when they talk about contributing towards a volumetric cost, if you have a hollow building in place, that's going to reduce the cost to put the skin down. It's kind of how I'm reading it. Again, speculating, but I do think, I don't think the hollow buildings are going to be the final design that we see in phase 3.
I agree.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I think might as well transition into this next fun topic, Aaron. Oh my God, sorry. Hazy. That was bad.
It's okay. Everyone knows my name.
I know.
But, all right. Fire air.
So, right. Just leave it at that.
All right. Okay.
We're done. No, I wrote an article yesterday going through some of the mishaps that Air, the web development team behind Earth 2, has had over the course of the last 6 months. And I outlined a lot of things. I saw Nameless and TechOps talk about this on the Guidebook Gaming stream, and they kind of confused a little bit of the second part where they thought I was talking about bugs when I was really talking about the ease of use for the user. The first part was about bugs. The second part was the ease of use for the users, which isn't really there. So we have two issues with what Air is doing. We have the bugs that happen every single rollout, and that's kind of, to me, a lack of quality testing that they're doing. And Shane argued with me that I actually asked him about some of this, and he said it's easier for them to fix the bugs post-production than it is to try to do it between testing environment. And I get that, but I still think they could do a better job testing, you know, maybe have an internal testing group of users that could spend one day just going through and finding. I guarantee you give us 10 users that have a lot of experience doing this kind of stuff, have them attack their rollout for a day, we're going to find enough bugs that they can put out a better product. So that's one of my arguments, is just have some better testing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that you could, because I think the reason it's faster to just fix it later is because you have so many people, us, the users, using it live and finding things through peculiar methods. But I think it might be better to have people volunteering to be the guinea pig in that testing scenario rather than roll out those
The
brains.
reason it's bad to roll it out and have the whole Earth-2 community be your bug testers is it's a bad look. It looks bad when a user comes to the website and they go to play Earth-2 or visit Web-2 and they see bug after bug. It's just
Especially if
it's
it's
not.
their first time.
Yeah, if it's their first time, they're going to be like, "Well, this site sucks. I'm not ever coming back." So it's a bad look. And then you have the ease of use things. I mean, just one of the things we talked about with the mentors is well, they fixed the initial thing where you could only have 20 properties at a time. So you had to freaking rename all your properties and search on them. And now you just have a long list of 1,000 properties. And so there's no real ease to know if you have a property slotted with Jules. And so one of the things I said is you could just put a marker on the property page saying, indicating that it's slotted with Jules. So you go through your profile page, you can see the little indicator on each property saying this one's slotted. If the indicator's not there, it's not slotted. Something that simple. It's just the ease of use, quality of life thing. And they fail to do that in so many instances. So that's what I'm saying AIR fails at. Yes, they release buggy rollouts, but they also release a website that just isn't user friendly. Snoke, you've been playing games for a long time, visit a lot of websites. You agree with that?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I read your article, and I mean, simple things as just like a straight line in between two separate buttons. It's simple things like that that if a new player comes on and they see stuff like that, that is like, oh well, someone. I'm trying to think of the name of what that person is called, but basically, they like to be everything exact and.
OCD.
Yes, OCD. Thank you. And if you have an OCD person come on, they notice everything right away, and it's just like, I can give them like a personal like,
Well,
woo.
if the website looks rickety, then it's just going to shake your
Exactly.
confidence and your enthusiasm in the platform itself, And I know that, and I don't want to step on your toes here, Snoke, but some of these, there have been some like third-party solutions for some of the lack of what Hazy's describing as ease of access. So like the .xyz site that people have used, to find
Percents.
good deals, to filter out by say, oh, I'm looking for 750 tile plots. You can't do that search in Earth 2. And then there's also been a script for slotting Jules. So you can speak to this probably better than I can, Snoke. So I'll ask you, like, how do people feel about this? Do they feel that this is like an unfair advantage? Because my stance is it's not just because it should be part of the website, but
That's my
I'm
stance too.
biased.
That's my stance too. My
Yeah.
stance is if it's something that doesn't, and Snoke will get into this argument here because I know Nameless has a completely opposite take on this, and I totally disagree with Nameless. I'm on Predict's side here. It shouldn't be up to a user that has 2,000 properties to spend 6 hours trying to manually slot jewels. That's not a fun grind. It's not user friendly. So for me, using the script for that specific instance is fine. I'm not for scripts for buying land or for auto buy stuff, but for
Right.
something that is impacting the user friendliness of a website, I'm all for scripts. So go ahead and tell the opposite argument.
Well, I think because the way I see it is, it's a script, and this specific instance, I don't see it where it is helping the player to get a better advantage over other people. That's the type of scripts I don't want to see. Like you said, buying properties when it hits the market for, let's say on accident for 25 cents or something like that automatically. I don't want to see scripts like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with that.
And I think that, what people are saying is that this could be an example of cheating, where it is,
Well,
you're going around the system.
the argument I've seen is that they're trying to make it harder for people that have a lot of property, so it's not pay to win.
Oh, so it's like deliberately a pain in
Deliberately.
the ass so that
Deliberately a
you.
pain in the ass because people spend a lot of money, which is a stupid argument for me.
That seems
Right.
insane because then, yeah, are you going to actually incentivize people to to disinvest from the platform seems crazy to me. But
yeah, I mean that was a bad argument I saw. And but I mean I get that people and there's no clarity in the terms of service about what's allowed and what's not allowed. And Shane's mentioned in the past and in the dev chats on Discord, which we'll get into here in a second, that it's okay as long as it's not doing something malicious. And I don't think this is malicious.
Yeah, I would agree with that. My ultimate argument here is that I hope that on a long enough timeline that things like this are simply on the website. And not because I don't want the users that
Right.
have put these awesome tools together to benefit. I mean, I would,
They shouldn't have to.
yeah, that's the thing is I think that these folks could use their
Like an
skill to
auto
do
swap
other things.
function
Yeah,
on the website. Exactly.
and that's what I, that's one of the things. So we submitted a kind of a mentor bug report to Shane the other day, and one of the things we talked about was an auto slotting button. You can pick a click a button to auto slot, and you can pick what jewels you auto slot with. You can pick random, you can pick the color you want. It's a two button click, and you could just put it right on your settings page. It wouldn't be that difficult, and that's the kind of easy use thing that Earth2 needs to be thinking about. Because if they think people like manually dragging 1,000 jewels over to their thing, they have another. It's the most ridiculous.
Well,
I only had 200 properties, and I didn't use the Miha script, and I hated it.
and we're talking about earlier the UPG, the crafting of lower tier jewels into a more powerful jewel. That's going to then require users to potentially remove the jewels, do this. It's like that is then a six-hour process you could
Drag them
run
into
without
their
slotting.
heraldic cube, hit the transmute button, then drag those into the cube again because they became a bigger jewel. Hit the tran Can you imagine if you have to go from small to medium to large to exquisite, and you have a four-step process? All the drag. Oh my goodness.
It's one thing if you're, putting it into the Horadric cube in the first place, but again, to have to manually remove and then manually re-add all those is just asinine.
Yeah, so I've been playing Diablo 2 Resurrected, and I've been having to use the Horadric Cube again. I'm like, oh my God, I hate this.
By the way, Hazy, I bought that earlier today, so I'll be downloading the beta and
Yeah, we'll have to play that. Have to
yeah,
play that
for
def
sure, for sure.
the beta is done for now, but we'll have to play that when they get into the public beta.
Oh, right.
All right, so one last topic we want to talk about before we wrap things up today, the gag order from Vicarious public PR. So it's not so big a secret anymore, but Vicarious has basically told the development team to not chat in Discord, Facebook, Twitter, unless they go through them first for their communications. Out ex With a few exceptions. So, for example, there was a pretty major bug that happened yesterday that caused some issues with some prices in three countries. Nathaniel went on and dealt with that. So that's kind of the exception. When you have a major issue like that, it's okay for the dev team to go in there. But like to just go in there and have a chat with the users like they used to, nope, can't do it anymore. You have to ask mommy to get to the bathroom. So
I mean,
I'm not a fan of this. Obviously, my whole deal with when we were talking public relations was not less interaction with the user base. It was more interaction. So the fact they're doing this kind of really. I get why they're doing it because they want to kind of calm the drama down. And the more times you have the devs talking, it gives people more reason to attack it. But I think it also really kind of dampens the enthusiasm of the community as a whole. And that to me is a bigger negative than people nitpicking at things that Shane and Nathaniel and Wolfgang say. So, Kenny, what are your thoughts on this?
I do think one benefit is that we will not have as many or have not had as many of the sort of meandering Shun timelines, right?
True, true.
Now
that's kind of a scorched earth solution, right? No communication means you're not going to get like these sort of gray area timelines. But yeah, one thing we talked about before, Hazy and Snoke, I know one of you had mentioned this in a previous episode, like when Aaron from the PR team was talking about the Earth2 Discord, she was described it as any other gaming community, which I think is fair. I don't have any delusions of grandeur about this group, but I do think that there are some subcategories. There's a difference between a community for a game that does exist and one that doesn't, and a game that does have people with 5 and 6 figures invested in it.
Yeah, that's a big difference. I mean, yeah, like, there's substantial money involved. And like, I played Diablo, and that's basically a $50 one-time investment.
Right.
Yeah. And that's pure entertainment, right? It's a trip to the movies. Unless they opened up like a D2 auction house, right? So,
they had one in Diablo 3, and I loved it.
I know. But that is a difference. And I only mention that to say that, you know, some folks have a lot of money invested in it. And so some of the communication, you know,
it's important.
I appreciate some of the immediate results and, you know, not getting, and sometimes like we got conflicting information that probably could have been avoided with better PR, but,
right.
But yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from, Hazy. And Snoke, what's your reaction? I know that you're somebody that enjoys seeing some of the devs in chat, like Wolfgang and Nathaniel specifically. Yep.
You know, I think it's always a pleasure when you have them communicating, especially with people that are highly invested.
And it pumps the community up whenever one of them come in for.
Oh, exactly. I mean, you see every Discord being like, "Oh my gosh, someone's in the chat." You know, every other Discord that's involved with her too. I mean, you always see it happening, and I agree. I think it does pump up the community, and it's even nice just to get to know the devs. I mean, there's been times where they had like general Q&As, like, you know, does pineapple go on pizza? You know, just simple stuff like that. It's nice to know that.
Don't get me started. Now, I don't want to ask, what do you mean by that?
To me personally, it's kind of nice because I remember at the very beginning, even when they did that very first town hall video they did or whatever, they did it because people didn't think they were real. And so it's kind of nice to have them have that human interaction place. But that, well, me personally.
Hey, that's, you know, bringing that up, Snoke, that's a great point. That would be one thing they could do that would, I think, be, you know, that would make up for some of the lack of.
Yeah, dev stream.
Gen chat is do another dev stream.
So I did see that Chris Bot put out a Survey Monkey poll for questions about a potential dev stream. So I recommend people going to the pinned post in the Gen chat, filling out that survey, filling it out in depth. Don't just leave it. So if we have a potential for a dev chat, that would definitely be a good step in the right direction. Yeah. So I'm hoping we see that soon.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And
but I'm not counting on it.
And by the way, there's something that I failed to put on the agenda that I wanted to mention here, which is the E2 Summit.
That's a good thing to wrap up on. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So Snoke, I think that it's probably most appropriate to kick it over to you to talk about this a little bit, what the sort of tentative plans are.
Yeah. So it's Earth-2 Community Summit. So just want it to be, it's community driven.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, not official. That is all right. Yeah.
And basically, you know, it was an idea that was kind of kicked off a long time ago. And it was just about like, oh, yeah, you know, it'd be cool to have meet up and stuff. I'm like, well, you know, it'd be cool to actually like have like some kind of actual function that multiple people can come to and enjoy it, learn new things, strategize again with each other, maybe have guest speakers come up, have different tech companies, not games, but like VR tech companies or AR tech companies, showcase what they have.
I just gotta say, there better be a My Name is Human Pod guest speaker segment.
We'll talk. but I'm serious though. It's something that we can all have. You know, I plan on having like a VIP section. I plan on having like, I mean, the possibilities are endless, you know, but we did kind of set a time and date. It will be in July of 2022, and it will be in Las Vegas, USA.
Hey, so, Snoke, where's it going to be at?
We haven't narrowed it down 100%, but it is between the Flamingo or Caesars.
I vote number 2.
Right, and that's honestly where we are leaning towards, because the Flamingo, it's, you know, the Caesars, everybody knows Caesar Palace, so I think that's
more expensive, but also a more VIP experience.
Yeah, you stay at Caesars, and then you wander across the street, and you gamble at Flamingo. They're right there.
You got your $25 blackjack table at Caesars, and then you got your $5 crap table. $5 blackjack at Flamingo.
Yeah, so, you'll see me at the $5 three card. with a Bloody Mary at 11 a.m. Yeah.
Right. So more to come on it. You know, I have a couple people that's helping out. We're gonna have a video coming out soon, kind of excite people about it. I have a website coming up about it soon as well. All within the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned. I'm excited to share with y'all.
We'll definitely keep talking about it on the pod too.
Yes, indeed.
And we'll provide links through our show description when appropriate. So.
All right. Well, I think that's about it for this episode, and hopefully the audio works and we don't have to do this again next week.
No, it works.
Okay. Good. Good. Because I'm the third time I have to talk about this, I might just be like,
we're on to the next episode.
Right.
Yeah. We would definitely just move on. We'd be done. All right. So that has been the My Name is Human Pod Earth 2.0 podcast brought to you by MyNameIsHumanPod.com. Hazy out.
Hangy up.
No count.
Get up off your knees, girl.
Get up.
Stand face to face with your God.
Yeah.